Welcome to the Marketing.fm podcast, a marketing podcast where we discuss the latest and greatest happenings in the world of marketing and advertising. My name is Eric Friedman, and I am joined by my co-host, Lee Jones.
Thanks for joining us. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome.
I'm happy to let listeners know that today we had the pleasure of speaking with Kevin Roberts, the worldwide CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi. We got to speak with him about the future of Saatchi & Saatchi, his new book, The Love Marks Effect, and the social site built around it. With that, enjoy the interview. Kevin, thanks very much for being on the program with us today. I'm hoping you could give us a brief intro into your background and an overview of Love Marks, the book, the community, and the philosophy for global change at Saatchi & Saatchi.
Sure thing. My background, 30 years on the client side with Mary Quant in fashion in the UK, which was just about the most fun you can have while keeping your clothes on. And and then from there to P&G, Gillette, PepsiCo, which was less fun, but you certainly learn a hell of a lot about marketing, brands, consumers, competing and winning. Then into the beer business in New Zealand, Australia, which my father was very pleased about because he thought I'd got a real job at last instead of, you know, doing all these soft drinks and stuff. And then 10 years ago, I moved from the dark side to Saatchi & Saatchi into the land of ideas as CEO, and I've been there ever since, and I'm having just a blast. So that's that. I live in New York, but my home's in New Zealand. If any of you have any problems on the accent, don't worry, don't adjust your volume or your sound. It's my problem, really, not yours. Love Marks is an idea that I had eight, 9 years ago when I was driven by sheer naked fear that brands were collapsing and hard discounters were winning and power had switched away from the brands that I'd grown up loving completely into the hands of the distribution channel, and marketers everywhere were panicking and moving into sales promotion and discounts and offers and just diluting the equities of the brand. And I was worried, frankly, about the survival of Saatchi & Saatchi in this environment. And so fear is a pretty primeval motivator. And I was trying to think of what on earth could happen next. Naomi Klein, you know, was in the middle of writing No Logo, which didn't help calm any of my fears.
Right.
And we came up with some super evolved kind of stories that seemed to generate high margins, great returns. Some brands seemed to inspire loyalty beyond reason, you know, beyond product, beyond benefit, beyond attribute. And we figured out that really these were actually what I thought they were at first, were trust marks, and where they had added trust, reputation. If you think of Tide in the U.S., it was you could always count on Tide, and dirt can't hide, you know, from Tide, and women all over the world could count on Tide. And I thought, you know what, it's a trust mark. And I was speaking to Alan Weber. Do you remember Alan in Fast Company days?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And Alan was really at the forefront of new thinking, and unlike many journalists who kind of are cynical pursuers of negativity, Alan has always been driven by conversations around innovation and exciting new stuff and change and all this frightening stuff. And I saw him, he came out to New York, and I was very excited about this concept of trust marks. And he just thought it was a really bad idea and said, yeah, brands are dead. There has to be something else, but this is just not pushing it far enough. So I went home and I was pretty dispirited. You know, I remember sitting in my loft in Tribeca, and I was a long way from home, a long way from my family, a long way from my friends. Alan didn't like my idea. It was pretty lonely, you know, so I opened a second bottle of Bordeaux, and I was sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning with a pad in front of me and a pen and all that, you know, and I was drawing, and I got this word trust mark there, I just thought, you know, nobody loves me anymore, and I'd driven this hard, and it just was obvious to me that I hadn't pushed it far enough, and really what I was thinking about was a love mark. I went to bed, you know, and 8 o'clock woke up, because sometimes when you wake up at 8 o'clock after 3 o'clock, the idea is not quite so flash, right? So it's important to go check it out quite quickly. And I looked at it, you know, I thought, man, that's it. And I called Alan Weber up about 8:15 in the morning, so I guess it was 7:15 where he was. And I said, I got it, mate, it's love marks. And he said, yeah, I think it is. And we went from there, and that's kind of how the thing evolved or started 7-8 years ago. And it's evolved now through tons of research, tons of case studies, tons of speeches, lots of examples, a couple of books, and I think it's got real staying power, real grunt.
I actually just joined the Love Marks community on the website, and I've had a great time.
Well, better late than never, mate.
Yeah, no, I know. I guess this fear that caused your realization, part of the customer or the consumer revolution, this idea of a shift between push brand marketing and consumers pulling what they want.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the greatest thing in the world has happened, right, because we've seen this power switch. When I grew up, as I said to you, you know, brands had all the power, and then it all switched, you know, Walmart, the world's biggest. I mean, I spent all this morning at JCPenney down here in Dallas, and last week I was talking to the board of Carrefour in London, and, you know, the distribution networks really took all the power in the last decade. Now, thank goodness, power has switched once again, and as H.G. Lackley says at P&G, the consumer is boss, and she is in the driving seat, and everything we learned about mass marketing and, you know, interruption marketing and experience marketing and the attention economy, forget it. It's all down the drain. We live in a world now where the consumer has the power. She will choose where she buys, what she buys, how she buys, when she buys. She's the expert. She's ahead of most manufacturers and most retailers. She, you know, she doesn't need directing anymore. She's looking for connectivity. She's looking for connections. So we're in a wonderful world. We're in the consumer revolution, and in that revolution, emotion's at the top of her list, because nowadays, you know, I mean, anti-dandruff shampoos get rid of dandruff, you know. I mean, moisturizers make your skin soft. Beer tastes good, you know, unless you live in America, why me? But generally speaking, these things are truths, right? The consumer's now looking for something, you know, because anything of bad quality has pretty much disappeared from the marketing map now. You know, it's just got killed by competition. So she's looking, 85% of decisions are made emotionally. And love marks, you know, love is the greatest emotion of all. It's how do you make a brand not just irreplaceable, but how do you make a brand now truly irresistible? You know, I was with the board this morning of JCPenney, their operating board, and I was telling them that we have moved from an interruption environment to what we're calling the attraction economy. And if you do not attract her so that she has to lean in, that she has to touch, taste, smell, she wants to feel you, you're going to lose. So pretty exciting times, eh?
Absolutely. And what could be better for the consumer?
What could be better for marketers and for creative people in advertising agencies? I mean, this is you know, this is a new renaissance. It's not just going to be about doing a TV ad or a magazine ad. All media is going to be interactive, right? All media is going to have the consumer's voice in there at a very early stage, and everything's going to be happening in real time. It's kind of almost everything that Alan Weber and Fast Company believed, you know, 10 years ago is coming true. Everything I believed when I grew up in the 60s, you know, power to the people. We were right all along. I think we just got distracted by some other stuff, but we were right.
Just took a little longer, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, I think the Summer of Love in San Francisco and Timothy Leary and Ken Kesey and these guys took us off track a little bit. But anyway, back away from that.
So it seems Love Marks is a holistic approach to marketing, a strategy that needs to transcend the traditional walls of advertising and media.
What advice are you giving?
Very, very technical and idiomatic to me, you know. It sounds like a crock of I don't know what, you know. What are you talking about? Of course, it's, I mean, what's the opposite of holistic? I mean, not holistic?
Well,
one
that is too,
you know.
Perhaps one that's too channeled.
Mate, it's all claptrap, though. I mean, of course, you know, the consumers, we live in a holistic world where the consumer is totally holistic. She doesn't compartmentalize and differentiate. I think those kind of words and that kind of jargon is part of the old marketing-driven, you know, kind of theory and all that kind of stuff. And we've got to move into a consumer world, actually into a world of people, not even into a consumer world, into a people world. And we've got to stop overthinking all this, these buzzwords, you know. We've got to give up control. Those people that are going to win are going to be, you know, the people that can give up control of their brands to the consumer, give up the design, give up the equity, give up the power. It's like the medium that you've put up, you know. Could you imagine 5 years ago, you know, the worldwide head of an ad agency talking to you guys, or you talking to him for that matter?
No.
I'm
inspired.
Great.
We actually can't believe it today.
I don't really care.
So it seems like Saatchi & Saatchi has gone through kind of an evolution over the past, or I guess when this idea first started 7 or 8 years ago, and then another evolution maybe 3 to 4 years ago. What is the next step in that evolution or the process, Saatchi & Saatchi, and what is it heading towards now that we've talked a lot about this empowerment of the consumer and it is a great time to be a marketer? Where is it going over the next year or two?
Yeah, I think 10 years ago when I joined the company and partnered with Bob Isherwood, our worldwide creative director, we made the call then that it was all going to be about ideas and not ads, because advertising was just a one-way medium that we couldn't articulate 10 years ago, but we felt was going to run out of juice very quickly. So you may recall we attempted to reposition ourselves as an ideas company. And as we look at the next 10 years, I think we're kind of looking at three areas. One is the whole area of where the consumer plays. If you think that there's a spectrum that starts with information, moves into knowledge, then, you know, you develop insight, and then you need foresight. That's kind of the marketing spectrum, using words that are not terribly technical. Information and knowledge is kind of table stakes, and you're not going to win by having more information than the other guy. We all got the same stuff, you know. You know, whether you're at Colgate, Kimberly-Clark, Unilever, or P&G, you got fundamentally the same information on the consumer habit and what she says, okay, and what she does. You've also got kind of the same knowledge because you're hiring from the same gene pool, you know, you're going to the same schools and hiring the same people. Where we want to play at Saatchi is in the area of insight and foresight, and we want to play in the area of insight by really developing new tools, new processes, new kinds of people around a process called exploring that was developed by Sandy Thompson, our worldwide planning head. She's written a book about it called One in a Billion, which talks about exploring in China. And that's really answering the questions to what, not what a consumer says or what she does, but how she feels. So it's kind of research without any questions, because as soon as you start asking people questions or experiences, that you very rarely find truth. You find positions, you know. So it's really about a new kind of really anthropological way of doing research. That'll be one of our tripod legs. The second will be foresight, which is creativity. You know, how do you get to foresight first? What kind of processes do you have to put in place so that everyone, whether they are, you know, in the mobile space, in the interactive space, in the TV space, where everybody creatively gets to the table at the same point in the process, right at the beginning. And then finally, our focus is to fill the world with love marks. So it's kind of exploring, great insight, ideas, to bring everyone together at the same time. And the result is hopefully to turn a brand into a love mark. So that's how we're organizing and thinking about stuff.
regarding your thoughts and the company's thoughts on insight and foresight, one of the questions we like to ask guests to come on the program is about one area they feel will change or will not change in the coming years. And I thought a great area for us to discuss today was that of television. And I pose the question to you, do you think we will see a sweeping change within the television space?
Television is the most important medium of the last century, and it will be just as important as we go forward. In the developed world, it'll remain important, you know, because everybody's got two or three sets, and we all know how to use them. Plus, you know, everybody's giving us better programming, better designed TVs, et cetera, et cetera. And then if you look at BRIC, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and all the developing countries, TV will lead the way in terms of mass penetration. So it's going to be with us for a long time. It will change dramatically. It will become much more interactive. It will become much more live, you know, so there will be many, many more live TV events. There will be a lot of franchise programming, you know, think Sopranos, think Rome, think 24, et cetera, think Deadwood, which you can't afford to miss because if you do, you know, you'll be a social pariah next morning around the water cooler. Somebody will start inventing televisions that are not just flat screen and high digital and high tech, but they actually look fantastic. You know, somebody will do to the TVs what Jobs did to Walkmans when he brought in the iPod and what he did to computers when he brought in the iMac. Because even, you know, so I think design and architecture will change. And you will see them play a role in a family of screens, not just the only screen. So they'll take their place next to the computer and next to the mobile. You know, because we're not going to watch a game of football on a tiny screen, you know, on our mobile or on our, or even on our computer. We're going to want to watch that at 60 inches, you know, and we're going to want to have IMAX theaters in our rooms and all this kind of stuff. So I'm optimistic. What's going to have to change is the guys are going to have to get realistic on pricing because they're taking advantage right now of the fact that the mobile space and really the internet and so on haven't got themselves a smart pricing model. They haven't got enough research to convince wary and conservative clients, you know, success models and measurements and so on. So the networks are still on the gouge. They've probably got 12 months left, and then those days are going to go by. You're going to see prices come down, I think.
I agree.
Well, so there we have it, chaps.
I just want to say thank you very much for coming on our program today. And with the openness you have to all these different new mediums, it's clear that without that, you would not be on a podcast. So I want to thank you again for coming on the program and being open to these types of interviews. We really appreciate it.
It's been fun. Thanks so much. Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Marketing.fm podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks again to Kevin Roberts. Be sure to check out the Love Marks community at www.lovemarks.com.
Thanks, Lee. And if you want further information, check the show notes for details. A special thanks also to Kevin Roberts for joining us tonight. We hope you enjoyed the program. If you have any feedback, go to www.marketing.fm.